This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Aero Code 8, we've got earnings calls for you. Yeah, sounds great and exciting. You've got Google buying Sparrow, and Google puts a little more fiber in its diet. Stay tuned.
This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast.
I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. Thanks, smooth autograph. I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. Thanks, smooth autograph.
This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast.
I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. Thanks, smooth autograph. I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast. Thanks, smooth autograph.
This is the Aero Code 8 podcast.
Like I said, so much better than my intro. Oh, like I just rapped to you, ad lib, by the way, rap battles going down here. This is the Aero Code 8 podcast, and I'm your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
What'd you think about that? I got mad rap skills, right?
Oh, yeah. What app is that?
Dang. Busted. That is Auto Rap from Smool. It's available on iOS and Google, Android. None for you. None for you and your WebOS.
You win this round.
I know that it's free on Android, and it is free also on iOS. So go there, pick it up. It's called Auto Rap. It's really cool. You just record yourself saying something, pick a song to set it to, and it does all the work for you. It actually is really good. That was basically I said that the same way I say every intro, so it did a pretty good job. I thought it'd be a fun way to start. Anyway, first thing I'd like to mention, we'll get the somber news out of the way. Over between our last episode and this episode, Sally Ride passed away. She was American physicist, was first woman in space. I believe it was pancreatic cancer that ended up killing
her. Yes, it
was. She was 61 years old, so lived a pretty good stint. You know, it's a bummer that she's gone. She will definitely be remembered, especially now that the space program that she helped pioneer is kind of no more. So we need more Sally Rides.
Indeed. This is a very sad loss.
Yes. So we're going to have a few seconds of silence here for Sally Ride. Okay, so we're going to hop off that somber note.
To be completely honest, huh? I thought you had a little rap prepared that you were going to sneak in during silence.
I take my silences completely seriously. Oh. Although I was one of the kids in school that for some reason, whenever they said, let's have a moment of silence for something, I always I had an unbearable urge to just start laughing. I don't know why. It's when everyone is silent, I want to laugh. So, thank goodness I got over that. Mm-hmm. All right. So, our first thing on our list, we're going to get these out of the way. Earnings calls. Yay. Earnings calls. Numbers are fun.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. I love earnings calls, man. It lets me see exactly how bad all the companies I love so much are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's all. Nope.
First thing, we're basically going to go down the list I gave to you. Our first one, Apple. I don't know why Apple's first. These are in no discernible order. Trust me, it's just Apple. Their third quarter 2012 earnings, get this, this blows my mind, $35 billion in revenue, $8.8 billion in net profits. That's so much money. Yeah. it's a ridiculous amount of money. So, they're doing pretty good.
Definitely.
I don't think we need to worry about Apple, so we'll move on. Netflix. This is their second quarter 2012 earnings. They gained subscribers this year, so that was pretty good. Sam, do you use Netflix at all?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see here. Looks like 530,000 more U.S. subscribers have signed on. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good amount. It's got $889 million in revenue, which comes out to about $6 million in net income. So they're not
as impressive as Apple, but when you look at it like this, they clocked over customers of Netflix, you guys out there, clocked over 1 billion hours of content viewing. 1 billion.
Watch a lot of Netflix, what can I say?
And not to make any of you out there feel bad or anything, but think about if you all combined that time, think of where the space program would be right now. Think of Sally Ride.
Yeah, but you got to admit, most of the people watching Netflix aren't.
I know. Oh, but you could be.
Freaking space shuttle be made out of duct tape and dinner plates. I say this, but I watch Netflix all the time. So.
Oh. I go out there and try to make spaceships out of duct tape.
and paper plates. Okay. So, next, Samsung. Their earnings this quarter is $5.86 billion of profit, operating profit. That's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, we're liking that. Of course, their Galaxy S3 launch and the Galaxy Note launch have both really pushed them up into the high point this year.
And you know what? I'll be honest. I did not think the Galaxy Note would be a success.
Me neither. I totally called that one wrong.
What I hadn't mentioned is how good, and for those of you out there considering the Galaxy Note and your productivity based, it is a very excellent device for productivity. It's replaced BlackBerries. The people out there who are finally giving up on waiting for BlackBerries, I see a lot of them going to the Galaxy Note.
It's true. It's true. I just bought a Samsung Galaxy S3, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're doing really – this is a huge – from 2 years ago with where Samsung was at with their cell phones to now is a huge difference.
Very much so. All right. Now the company everyone wants to hear about, Google. Well, at least I do, so. Their quarter two in revenue is $12.21 billion in revenue. That's pretty good. As far as profit is concerned, it's $2.79 billion in profit. I'd take a check for that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Let's see here. Motorola, Google bought Motorola Mobility. Motorola itself has done $1.25 billion, and about $843 million of that was after the acquisition was completed. So, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not... the economy is supposedly completely in a crapper, but these companies really aren't doing incredibly bad in comparison to, their competition.
A lot of these companies have the advantage of providing very unique key services that regardless of how bad the economy gets, everyone's life is kind of wrapped around them.
That's very true. Very true.
I mean, if you want to buy something online, you have two places, really. Amazon and eBay.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Amazon's a lot more reliable.
It truly is. I still buy a few things off eBay, but not much, because usually I go to eBay and I find it on Amazon for around the same price. It's like, why am I even going to worry? I got mm-hmm. Prime. I might as well use it.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of Amazon, and thank you, Sam.
Flawless segue.
Amazon's quarter two earnings, their net income went down 96% to $7 million. Net sales, 29% up. They went to $12.83 billion.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, to have a drop in your income over a year, but an increase in sales. People buying cheap things?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. I think they're probably, their prices are so low.
Yeah.
In order to be competitive with, you know, well, brick and mortars.
Their Kindle Fire still has a
very true
corner on a market, but it is a sales loss. I mean, everyone knows that. You can even, there's no way they can honestly produce it that cheap.
No, no. Well, I mean, I believe that the Nexus S is like $207 or something like that to produce.
Yes.
And they're selling them for $199. So really, companies like Google and Amazon are selling you these tablets at a loss simply because they figure that they will make up their costs in content.
Right.
So, you know. And if you're a douchebag and you buy it and then download all your own content and pirate it all and then load it on there, you're really just killing the companies that are saving you money.
Yep.
So, be careful doing that, you know? That's bad news. All right. Sprint. This one, I kind of saw coming. I figured this is about how this was going to turn out. Sprint's quarter two figures are operating revenues of $8.8 billion. So that's, yeah, you know, that's an improvement over the last quarter. Let's see here. And then let's see, cash reserves at $128 million. And they're $267 million this quarter. So that's also a pretty good improvement. You know, it's basically they're losing money right now because of them having to shut down the Nextel platform and also having to, you know, they're bringing out their LTE network. The iPhone costs them a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. having to bring that in. And just the price of bringing that in alone is a pretty amazing amount of money going out the door.
Oh, yeah.
So
see, and something else, this year is a very big advertising year for Sprint. Both with the shutting down of Nextel, they now need to move and let Nextel customers know, hey, we offer the same services, but only on Sprint now. So you have to have, I hear commercials every day, advertising push to talk on the Sprint network, on the Now network, instead of on Nextel.
Sure.
That's advertising. I mean, yes, they're writing off Nextel, but they're spending more money letting Nextel customers know what's going on.
But it shows that they care for their customers. They're willing to spend that money to inform them.
It's not so much they're willing. I don't think they have a choice. Yeah. Their backs are up against the wall. Yeah.
You'd like to think that they're willing, though.
Yeah, exactly. I would expect them, they're more willing to do that than I would expect AT&T and Verizon to be.
Oh, yeah, by far. They have announced that they have absolutely no plans to adopt a shared data plan, such as AT&T and Verizon have. Kudos, Sprint. Freaking kudos. Because
it's all
shared data anyway on Sprint.
Yeah, I would say, it's almost like the data amount doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't. Well, on Sprint, for a family plan, you get a certain... you either have unlimited data or you don't. You know, if most of the family plans come with unlimited data, that's the draw of the family plans. So
right.
You basically just go in, get a family plan with unlimited data, and everybody has unlimited data. So who the hell cares how much data you have? It's unlimited. Just use it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about bits and bytes. All right, Sam, I'm actually going to let you take this next story. I put it in the notes for you because I know you, you've talked about this before and you liked it. That's the end of our earnings calls, so go ahead and enlighten us.
Yes, on to something more interesting for those tech geeks out there that are more hands-on.
I don't like doing earnings calls, but you know, you almost have to. So
right. Well, it is definitely one of those things to keep track of simply because, well, you know, if you want your phone to get updates and be supported 1 year down the road, you need to know who's doing well and who's not, because exactly. That company may not be around next year. They could be owned by Google.
Very true.
Speaking of a company that will probably never be owned by Google, simply because they're not out there to make any money, Mozilla. I've mentioned before Bootstick Echo, which is their little homebrew open source operating system. And I believe I mentioned that they had changed the name to Firefox OS. Well, they have officially on GitHub, they are posting nightly version or nightlies of Firefox OS that you can get up and running on a computer, not on a cell phone yet, but on any of the main operating systems, Windows, Linux, or OS X, OS X. Could not remember. Brain freeze. you can get up and running on that, and they're not stable builds. These are very rough. Nightlies are being constantly updated. Well, nightly, more or less, as to describe the name. But it gives a sample of what is to come from Firefox OS, and whether or not it's something you might want to hold out for in regards to devices that will be rolling out, because we know companies are going to make Firefox OS hardware, but it should be installable on most Android devices simply because it shares the common Linux kernel that Android uses. So, tech geeks out there, if you want to tinker around, it requires a little bit of shenanigans with some code, but other than that, you can get it up and going and have a early hands-on.
It looks interesting. I might download it and give it a try. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I plan on... It doesn't hurt anything to give it a shot, but I mostly want to know and see, because they are... The pull behind the whole operating system is something that, with WebOS, a key thing, all of it, is universal app development. Apps that are built in HTML... that run within the cell phone's browser, more or less, or within just on the phone itself, executing as HTML code, that are universal, device agnostic. No longer do you have to go to the Google Play Store, or, which is actually really awkward to say now that I think about it, however, or to the App Store, the App Market. Something that you buy online through your individual browser, and it works regardless of what device you're using it on. WebOS has been pushing that for a while with their HTML inyo apps. Mozilla's pushing it with their Firefox OS. The fact is, if I fork down $5 for an app on my Android phone, it really sucks that I then have to fork down $5 for it on my iPad.
Oh, I understand that.
It adds up quick.
First world problems.
Indeed.
Hey, good stuff. Okay, well, let's see here. Next on our list, Google has bought a small little company. I've used this mail client for a very long time. It's a mail client called Sparrow. It's not incredibly feature intensive. It's not packed to the brim with drill downs and features that you can do everything with. Sparrow is, to me, the ultimate productivity email client, because it gets me into my inbox, organizes it just like it would on the web app for Gmail, and gets me right back out. I can clean out my inbox in just, you know, an hour and be just happy, you know, plain happy with the results, because Sparrow is so simple to use. Now, it's only available on the macOS platform and iOS platforms, and it's only available for the iPhone when it comes down to that. But Sparrow has been bought by Google. Now, they're kind of saying that it's not going to be really getting any updates after this. Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking is that Google bought Sparrow in order to put all the stuff that Sparrow does into the Gmail client for iOS, and maybe to rebrand the Sparrow client as a Gmail client on macOS. And it would be nice if they came out with a Windows version too, but you know, that doesn't matter to me. I don't do Windows, although mm-hmm. I have a Windows machine on my desk here. But beside the point. It holds our show notes.
I've never used Sparrow or anything like that, so I've heard of it. And I've generally heard good things about it, mainly in regards to efficiency. So
yes, anyone who's ever tried Sparrow will not be able to use another email client ever. I've gone through so many. I've gone through Thunderbird, Postbox. I have Sparrow now, Outlook. Good grief. I mean, I've used a web client for Gmail. I've used all kinds. Canine Mail is one that I used on Android at one point. There's so many email programs out there, but I have to say that Sparrow is by far my favorite, no matter what. Easy to use, quick to use. I really hope Google turns this around and puts out something great from Sparrow.
Yes.
All right. Google has got themselves in the news also. You remember a while back that we talked about Google Fiber?
Yeah, the dietary supplement.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It helps you poop. And Google assumes that the more content you can pass out of your system, the more content that you can shove into your system. So they're basically just making room for all the content that you're going to need.
Oh.
anyway, no, Google Fiber is a...
I'm surprised. I set that up so you could use the word sphincter, and you didn't.
Oh, man. Google Fiber, rough on the sphincter.
Oh.
Google Fiber, give your sphincter a break.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
That's awesome. Anyway, so Google Fiber has been in the works now for a while. Kansas City is, of course, the place to be when it comes to Google Fiber. They're going to be getting it first. It will be all the Kansas and Missouri sides. Makes me kind of want to move there. Basically, Google Fiber, originally when we heard about it, was going to be extremely fast gigabit Ethernet or gigabit internet. Okay. And everyone was just peachy and happy as can be with that. Now, they've turned around and added TV service to it. How freaking awesome is that? So, basically now, you can get... let's see, what is the channel count on this sucker? It's a ridiculous number. Did they even show a channel count? Maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm just... me thinking the wrong thing here.
One did not.
No, they didn't. Okay. It's going to be a stupid amount of channels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can almost guarantee. You know, you'll get a free Nexus 7 tablet to control everything. You'll get one of the packages that's available is Gigabit Plus TV. Includes all major channels and hundreds of fiber channels and on-demand content for $120 a month. That you'll get full gigabit internet access and TV for $120 a month. Most satellite services cost that for their basic freaking package.
Exactly. Which is actually why I don't have anything. I'm not willing to pay that.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I pay for extremely fast internet, and then I don't pay for a cable bill because I watch everything online. I am a cable cutter, so... I did build an antenna for HD TV, though. Because a little known fact, I'm actually an amateur radio guy. So, you know, I got that antenna building thing down.
Nice.
Most people don't think about that. They're like, this guy likes iPads and cell phones. There's no way that he's into old terrestrial radio. But I am. I am. It's actually where I started. Okay, so like I said, $120 a month gets you gigabit internet and TV, a very good-looking TV package. There is a $300 construction fee. Currently, that's being waived. So right now, they're just installing it for free. So definitely, if you're in the area, for the love of all that is holy, get in on this. Do not pass this up.
No.
Okay, so $300 construction fee. Okay, now, if you're willing to skip all the traditional TV, it'll be $70 a month. Okay, that's pretty darn nice. If you're a local resident and you're willing to pay the construction fee of $300, you can get 5 megabits per second for free. And they're saying that will last at least 7 years. Free 5 megabits per second for 7 freaking years. Thank you, Google. Thank you.
That,
And
that is
insane. When it comes to Google Fiber, I have one very important thing to say.
Shut up and take my money.
That about sums it up. Shut up and take my money. I want this so bad.
Yeah, they definitely need to roll this out more.
Yeah, and I know we won't more get it places. For a while, but man.
I mean, I'm actually happy because I normally, like, I don't live close to anything. I live close to this. This is actually, I mean, yes, it's on, you know, still, like, state away, but it's the closest, like, this kind of stuff like this is, like, California, New York,
yeah.
Florida, not in the middle of the United States.
Exactly. So, this is, man, if this comes to more cities, it's going to be so good.
Yes.
I can't wait. I mean, I am more than okay with pay. I would, for gigabit Ethernet or gigabit internet and the TV package they're talking about, I would jump up to 150, almost 175 and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that internet speed is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that'd be like.
Unlike many other internet providers out there, what a lot of people don't think of, it's not so much the lines that always end up congested. It is the servers.
Yes.
And the company's routers that end up congested.
You can guarantee that's
Google
not going to happen to Google.
Not going to have that problem.
No. Okay. Also, the hardware that's coming with this, there's a network box. It's a two terabyte storage box that will let you store DVR'd content, and a TV box, obviously, to hook you up to a TV using 1080p HDMI. When you get into this, the actual router and modem that they'll give you has a 4-port gigabit Ethernet switch on the back, and it runs off of 802.11n Wi-Fi. So it's basically the fastest possible device imaginable. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last story. I'd like to mention, by the way, I actually skipped over this in the show notes, but the release of Mountain Lion, OS X Mountain Lion, it has been released. It got released a couple days ago. So head to the App Store, pick it up for $20 for all of your computers that are on your iTunes account, and get to install in that. I'm using it right now. It's not bad. I don't know if the features are they're worth $20, but you know, like the notification center is really cool. But you know, check
it
out.
WebOS.
WebOS is not a desktop platform right now, Sam.
Oh, but that's totally that design. Totally.
Okay, this is the last thing I wanted to mention. More because I bought this phone recently than it being actual news. Okay, the Olympics are starting up, so, you know, there's lots of hotels in that area that have people staying in them because, you know, people come from all over the world for the Olympics. One of the Holiday Inns in London's Stratford, they have equipped 40 of those rooms in that hotel to use the Samsung Galaxy S3 to check in, to check out, order room service, unlock doors, and control the TV. How freaking awesome is that? I mean, the S3 has NFC built in, and obviously it has connections up the freaking yang, so it can do all of this stuff relatively easily. When is this going to be in every hotel? That's what I want to know. You know?
Hang on. I'd actually worry about it to a little point. I guess it would stop, trying to open the wrong door.
It's true. But, you know, and the only thing I can possibly worry about is the fact that since this is an electronic device like this, technically you can imagine somebody might find a way to hack it. But if you support it with a good, secure backbone, like a server that keeps all of the encrypted keys for all the doors, and your phone has to be connected to a network to upload the key to the NFC to open the door, something like that, you know, that would be fantastic. You could go one more and say that it has to be connected to the server using the hotel's internal Wi-Fi and make it even higher. You know, make it to where the server's isolated from the outside world because it only has the Wi-Fi inside the hotel as its connection. you know, something like that. I mean, I'm sure they've thought of this, and there are brilliant minds working on this, and I'm sure people who get paid a hell of a lot more than I do that are solving these kind of issues, so I'm not worried. But
oh, yeah.
I want to see this in more hotels. This would be fantastic. If I could do this instead of, you know, like last time when we went to C2E2 this year, I actually, at one point, Brandon and I, we tried to get in our room, and the key card was demagnetized. So we went downstairs.
Nice.
We got a new key card. We came upstairs. We tried it again. Demagnetized. And we went downstairs, got a new key card, came up, finally worked. By the way, I'm convinced Brandon is either really bad luck or really magnetic.
I would assume bad luck, because I don't think I've ever seen anything like randomly just fly across the room and stick to him.
Yeah, but it'd be pretty funny.
It would be hilarious.
All right. So that's the end of our news for this episode, guys. You can join us next week for all the fun tech news. I promise you there will not be earnings calls, so you don't have to worry about doing math. That would suck. No, I will not be doing another auto wrap, so sorry. Maybe I can create my own. Maybe I could redo the Air Code 8 theme song and make my own auto wrap using auto tune and everything. I might do that. I might just. That'd be pretty cool. Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you.
You can find me on Twitter at the Manitou Man. You can email me at sambriggs@8daysofgeek.com, manitouman@gmail.com, livingbriggs@live.com. You can find me on Facebook, Sam Briggs, or you can search facebook.com/squirrelsandmanatees. And I was ready for this, and now I'm fairly positive that's all of them.
You were ready. You were on that. All right. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Pen of Doom. You can find me. My email is jesse@8daysofgeek.com. You can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find everything. And yeah, that's about it right there. If you want to call us and leave a voicemail or text message us, you can use the number. It is 754-273-6397. That number again is 754-273-6397. I'm going to be setting up a persistent Skype account that people can call into if they'd like to. I know some of our international listeners are having some issues calling this number because it is based in Hollywood, California. And because of that, it is long distance for international listeners. I'm flattered that we have international listeners, by the way, and that's why I'm putting in the extra work to try and get you guys a way to call in and leave us some messages. Let's see here. There's something else that I was supposed to do, and as per my usual shenanigans, I was not ready for it, and I apologize. We're going to leave you with two recorded thingamajiggies. Let's see. First one is actually from our very own Zach Laidlaw. He actually called in just for grins and left us a message on our voicemail that he wanted us to play for you guys. And let's see here. Huh? And this is what happens when I'm not ready. Things happen.
Hey, 8DAG listeners. This is Zach Laidlaw bringing you the revamped iOS Appaholics Anonymous every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Also tune into Air Code 8 preceding Apple's release of iOS 6 as Jesse, Sam, and I will weigh in on the performance of this anticipated update. In the meantime, check 8daysofgeek.com for the latest geek news and follow me on Twitter at ZTLaidlaw. Happy downloading.
By the way, I'm actually a little bummed out that Zach's production value is a little bit more than ours.
I would say that was actually surprisingly professional.
Wasn't it? What the heck?
Yeah. Well, I've got the excuses of the fact that...
This is the air.
Oops.
At the core of it all, I'm a redneck, and technology scares me. That's the secret.
That's true. All right, so we're going to leave you with what I just about played in your ear there. A little bit of auto rap. We'll replay it from the beginning. Guys, thanks for listening to us, and can't wait to talk at you next week. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cody Podcast. This is the Air Cody Podcast.
I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Air Cody Podcast. Thanks, smooth auto rap. I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Air Cody Podcast. Thanks, smooth auto rap. This is the Air Cody Podcast. This is the Air Cody Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Air Cody Podcast. Thanks, smooth auto rap. I am your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs. This is the Air Cody Podcast. Thanks, smooth auto rap. This is the Air Cody Podcast. Yeah.